For the glory of God. For the glory of God. Hallelujah. Well, I'm thrilled tonight. Well, I stay thrilled. That's nothing new. I stay thrilled with the Word of God. When I read the Word of God, it thrills my soul. When I think about God, it thrills my soul. I can find the thrilling purpose of life in discouragement because I know Him. Hallelujah. I'd like tonight, if you would, for a few moments, if you'd turn with me to Exodus, the 13th chapter. Exodus chapter 13, I'd like to read two verses of Scripture, 21 and 22. And I want to say I'm glad that I'm here tonight. Kind of the privilege to be where I'm at in such a fine group of people. I love this church, and I love every saint of this church. And some of them that may not be saints, I love them too. Praise God. Hallelujah. Exodus chapter 13 and verse 21 and 22, and the Lord went before them. And I like that. The Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, to go by day and night. And He took not away the pillar of cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people. Hallelujah. Blessing. Great, great blessing of God. I'd like to speak tonight our subject of knowing how to count our blessings. Knowing how to count our blessings. We're a blessing conscious people. Blessings of God. We're very conscious. We want to live with the blessing of God. You just let a testimony service go by tonight. I wanted to hear the testimonies. And most everyone talked about the blessing of being in the family of God. Or they talked some blessing that God has bestowed upon their lives. You let anything happen that is good at all, and we get together and the phones start ringing and everybody, we want to tell others about the goodness of God and what God has done. And we keep it, a lot of times it may not be outsiders, but if God has done something great for me, I want to tell you. I want to share it with you. If He's healed me, I want you to know it. If He's lifted me, there's something about it. I can't wait to talk about the blessings of God and how good God is to me. And we live in this realm. We live in this frame of thinking, and we should. It's good to do this. It's good to have that desire to talk about God. And truly, if we'd asked even tonight to begin to list the blessings of God that have come upon every one of our lives, it would be an impossibility. We have to conclude simply with, God is good and God blesses us. And God blesses us. He watches us. He guides us and He takes care of our every need. But if we'd asked tonight, if I'd had a blackboard and a piece of chalk and asked everyone to come up here and list the blessings of God, number one, everyone that has the Holy Ghost, and that's the top priority. What blessing can supersede the not to receive the Holy Ghost? What touch of God, what joy can ever go beyond the joy of that night? I still remember what I felt. 10 years of age, and I got up off the floor after speaking in tongues for the first time, and I had a smile from the front to the back of my head. I had the Holy Ghost, and what joy! And that's number one blessing. Surely it would be. And number two, I thought in my life I'd have to miss the spiritual uplifting. When I'm in a valley and the Lord comes by and lifts me up, what a blessing. I'm ready to stand up and tell it to the world. And then the blessing of healing that God bestows upon all of us. These, I think, would be the three greatest blessings we'd tell about. But you know, the Lord kind of talked to me today. Many of the blessings of God, and God does so much for us. God does so much for each one of us. More than, I believe with all of my heart, more than we even realize what God does for us. But many of the glorious blessings of God, it goes without notice in our lives many times. A blessing that maybe God would desire to send victory, but that blessing comes and I haven't even recognized the blessing of God. And so the victory that God would have desired to give me, it is not there. And the glory that God may have longed to place upon my life, I don't find it because I have failed to recognize that particular blessing. And so that's why tonight I want to say again, we need to know. We need to know how to count our blessings. When I was a little boy, my dad, when I was about that boy's size, my dad used to rock me and my sisters in the chair, the rocking chair, and he'd say, count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings and see what God has done. And I remember that, and we'd go home now, he rocked that little fella singing, count your blessings and see what God has done. Count those many blessings. And that song, when we sing it in church, and we sing it all the time in our church, it always holds that special meaning. But there is a depth there to count the blessings of God. To honestly set them down and, oh, not take out a pencil and begin to write them down. I don't mean that, and I'm sure the writer didn't mean that. But I must never fail to let them at least register in my mind the touch of God that has been there, the glorious, glorious move of God that is so real, that is so real. Count your blessings. Count your blessings. Lord, teach me. Teach me to see how to count them. I was thinking of Israel today. And they were slaves, and the Lord delivered them from their slavery, from their bondage. And on their way out of Egypt land, the Lord set a gigantic blessing before them. The Pharaoh and his armies were coming behind them. And Israel, they were running like scared rabbits, running for their lives. Oh my, now what are we going to do? We can see the dust of Pharaoh's horses coming behind us. And we can almost feel the ground trembling with that great army. What are we going to do? And in the midst of all of this, God put that number one, that first blessing right before them. Oh, at the time, it didn't look like a blessing. If anything, it looked like an obstacle. If anything, it looked like a barricade. But through that blessing, God was trying to say, Israel, begin to count, get ready to count. Because of the Red Sea, not only did he part the waters or separate the waters, but he also defeated your enemy in the Red Sea. A great, great blessing that they didn't even recognize. They didn't see it. I could list. I'm not going to take all the time tonight. They went 3 days without water. They came to water that was bitter. Another blessing. It doesn't look like a blessing. But here, they saw the power of God as they cut the tree and the water was made sweet. And also, I never read this. I've read it before, but never thought about it. The Lord established a statute or an ordinance with them here at this particular place. And he said, if you hearken to my words, that I not put the diseases that I placed on Egypt, I will not let them fall upon you, and I will heal you. Because of this blessing, they were able to look to God for the healing that they needed. We could, like I said, we could list blessing after blessing. The food that they needed and God sent manna. The clothing that did not rot off their backs for all those years, but God was with them. The guiding hand of God that led them to the promised land. But I felt today the greatest blessing that they received, the greatest touch of God that they received, was a blessing that all too often goes completely unnoted when you preach about Egypt, Israel coming out of Egypt and the wilderness experience. There is a blessing that God provided for them as they walked along. The scripture I read tonight, the Lord established His cloud. It was His presence. And He led them with that cloud by day. And at night, He turned the cloud. It was a pillar of fire that was always there. And that last scripture said that the Lord never took the cloud by day nor the fire by night away from them. It was always there. It led them, and at night it became a light unto them, and it was constantly there. And I thought, what glory that Israel didn't even realize they had. When discouragement would come, there's no need to complain. There wasn't any need for them to go bellyaching back to Moses and say, why are we here? All they had to do was just simply look out of their tent flaps and look up and see the presence of God. It was there. A blessing. A blessing that they themselves failed to count. And tonight, as we're here, we might as well talk about us anyhow because we're here. The times we come together, that we just take the presence of God for granted. I do. The times we come and we fail to recognize what God has for us. You know, we spend too many days down in the dumps for saints of God. We spend too many days dragging our chins and stumbling over our own chin because we're frowning so bad of all of our trouble. When all we have to do is just simply look up and see the blessing of God that He longs to place upon us. God desires to bless us. That's the thing that is so funny. God longs to bless us more than we desire to be blessed. And there's too many times I let the blessings escape from me. And I allow the blessings to flee from before me. And all the time, God is saying, just stand still and just be quiet. Let me bless you. Let me bless you. If you'd hold your peace for a while, I'd bless you. And I'd give you what I desire to give you. The psalmist wrote, blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits. Daily He loadeth us. I read that today and I saw a man walking soul, not with a burden. We usually think of a burden as a load that is bent over, but He just piles the blessings and the benefits upon His children. Every day of our lives, there are blessings to be counted. Every day that I live, there is the glory of God that is mine. If I just recognize it. If I just look up and see it. Hallelujah. I never have to ask the question to myself. Maybe not outward to anyone else, but I never have to speak to myself and say, where is God? Because God's right here. And God's always here. I learned today from Job. This man, all his trouble, and we've heard the sermons many times, all that had happened to him, everything was taken from him, but his own life and the life of his wife. And in the midst of all of this trouble, Job writes, behold, happy is the man whom God correcteth. Therefore despise not thou the testimony of the Almighty. But Job is trying to say that in the midst of this trouble, in the very centermost, in the fiercest of the fire of the trial, Job is trying to say there's a blessing of God in the chastisement. There's a purpose for this. And many times the writer writes and speaks about, He has tried me and He's tested me and I have come out like pure gold. He has proven me and now I am as gold and as ice because of the chastening of God. But when that usually comes, when it usually comes to this boy's life, when that trial of, and it's hard to really think of a trial or as a hard road of being a blessing, but when it comes, I'm ready to backtrack. I'm wanting the easy road, and I'm ready to stand up and testify to all the glories when it comes on an easy way. But you let it come a little hard, and I'm not as ready to accept it. And I'm not as ready to stand and say, come on, God, give me what's mine. I'm more like trying to say, Lord, hold off just a little bit, would you? It's almost more than I can bear. But again, through that, if it's chastening, through that correction, through that particular moment of a trial, God is trying to perfect me in my walk with God. And the end results is going to be a blessing that I can count. The end of it all will be a blessing that I can write down in my memory bank and a spiritual uplifting that will help me walk as I need to walk with God. I had a very, very close friend of mine in school that one day she was taken ill, quite ill. She had a kidney infection and the doctors were very worried about it. She almost died from this sickness. The people, all of our friends and all of her friends, we all gathered at the hospital and we prayed. We found the chapel and the chapel was used 24 hours a day. We prayed and prayers were going up for this this our friend, this child. And after it was all said and done and everyone had questioned God, this girl was, she had the sweetest walk with God, I guess, of almost anyone I've ever met. If there was ever anyone that knew how to touch God, she knew how to touch God. And there were many of us that asked the question, Lord, why of everyone, why would she go through that? Why did she have to endure that? Or why was she placed in this predicament? But throughout all of this, when she finally came out of our hospital, we didn't realize it, but there was a nurse that was attending to this girl, and she watched as the young people came and spent hour after hour after hour praying for the need of this child. And after it was all over, this nurse came to this girl and said, would you mind taking me to the church? Will you go? Said, when I watched these young people and I saw them praying and getting a hold of their God and they saw a need like they did, this nurse said, I realized there had to be something to this. There had to be a walk with God. And this nurse said, I want what all of these have. And tonight, this nurse sits in a Pentecostal service filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost, standing up and praising God because she was filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, leave it up to you. Was it a blessing of God that this girl had to endure this sickness? In my mind, after she came out of the hospital, she was able to mark down and count one more blessing. Oh, it was a rough blessing. It was a hard blessing. It was a tedious blessing. But she was able to count a blessing. Another soul received the Holy Ghost because what God gave me. When we stop and realize that the only reason I'm still here on the face of this world, it isn't just to come to church and do what I want to do. I'm here that souls might see God in me, see Christ through me. And if I, in any way possible, if I can be an instrument or a tool to bring someone to the Lord, I think it's my obligation and it is a blessing of God to come upon me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I heard about a lady, another Pentecostal lady. This lady was a wealthy woman. They had a chicken farm or chicken ranch, whatever they call them. And this woman, she had everything she wanted. She had a big home. She came to church in her furs, and they weren't just fake stuff. They were real. And she came, and she had the Holy Ghost. And she had money. When the plate came around, she could put it in. One night she came to the evangelist who was there and said, Brother so-and-so, I want you to pray that no matter what it'll take, that God will save my husband. And the preacher said, no, wait a minute, sister. Are you sure you want me to pray that prayer? And she said, yes, sir. I want my husband saved more than I want anything in this world. And he said, if you're sure, said, I'm going to pray that prayer. This preacher was telling us that I went home and I prayed, Lord, whatever it'll take, save Sister So-and-so's husband. And this is the truth. This happened. He said that night, when that woman went home, she came home late. She came home to the sight of all the fire engines all around her house. Her house had caught on fire and burnt to the ground. Her husband was in it and he had third-degree burns. He about lost his life. All the chickens in the farmhouse or wherever they stall them or keep them, all the chickens were dead. And everything this woman had was completely destroyed. And to top the matters off, her insurance had lapsed over one day. And the insurance wasn't going to pay one penny on it. This evangelist said this woman came back to the house of God the next night. Her fur smelled like smoke and she smelled like smoke. She come back up to the altar. She didn't wait for anyone to preach anything. She come up to the altar boo-hooing and crying, oh my, I don't know why God is punishing me like he's punishing me. But when it all was trying to mount down to her, and that preacher was telling her, and it finally was used as a tool to get that husband in the church, a blessing of God. How do we count our blessings? How do we honestly sit back and count our blessings? It's easiest thing in the world for me just to look at the glory that comes. When the rain of the Spirit of God begins to fall and saturate my soul, it's easy for me to stand up and say, thank God for the Spirit of the Holy Ghost. When I'm walking on a cloud and my feet aren't even touching the ground, I'm so high spiritually. It's easy for me to stand and say, God is good to me and God is blessing me. But when God seems to pull the rug from underneath my feet and I feel like I'm crawling and it feels as though I can't get anywhere, am I still able to stand and say, thank you, Jesus? I don't know why, but somewhere I believe there's a blessing to this walk, to this way of my living. As long as this boy, no, Lord, don't ever let me forget this. I've had to remind myself, and God has had to remind me many and many times. Lord, as long as I walk with you, and as long as I'm trying. Now, that's the thing. A lot of people, they like to boo-hoo about all God isn't doing for them. But when you, if you could possibly examine their lives, they're not doing anything for God. If I'm not trying to live for God, I don't need to expect God to bless me. But as long as I'm walking with God, I believe today it was shown to me that much of what happens in my life, I can just put it down in my little memory book as a blessing from God. It may not seem that way. When David went out and the bear came upon him, I imagine David thought, oh my, what am I going to do? I don't want this. And he surely didn't recognize the bear nor the lion as a blessing sent from God. But later on in his life, several years later, he used that bear and lion experience as stepping stones to make himself just as tall as Goliath was in the sight of God. He had learned to trust in God because of that blessing. Because of that blessing. Lord, what you want to put on me, and you go ahead and put it on me. But Lord, please help me to have the grace and help me to have the grit to stand and acknowledge it as a blessing from God. And what you desire to do through that result, let me see it as I need to see it. I've seen people that they've been so downhearted. A good friend of mine, he had a Mexican restaurant. He had an opportunity to buy a good building in the town and to go ahead and enlarge his business. But the whole thing fell through. And at first he was really discouraged. He thought, oh my, I don't know why that happened. I really wondered. He already had the money spent he was going to make off the first year just about. Had it all banked and he knew what he was going to have. But he came to me a few months later and he said, you know, he said, I believe, I was praying the other day and I believe that God just allowed that to pass by because maybe he knew that I couldn't live for him if I had got into that business venture. Might have been tied up more where I couldn't go to church as much as I want to go and need to go. Maybe God just pulled that whole thing away from me because he knew it caused me to lose out with him. Count your blessings. Count your blessings. There's been a lot of times that a near-death experience or death itself has been the end results of someone receiving God. Sometimes that blessing may come in a disguise that I can't recognize it. And I think, my God, it's a horror from the adversary. Oh my, the enemy's plaguing me. But a lot of times if I just sit still and wait on God, I'm going to see that that horror is going to turn into the great blessing that God would desire it to be. We need tonight to know how to count the blessings of God. God's doing great things in every one of our lives, every day of our lives. If he hasn't done anything in you and you're trying to live for him, maybe you're just not counting what God's doing. Maybe you're not recognizing what God is doing. But I know that I can say without any hesitation, God is blessing and God is working and God is moving in our lives tonight, today, in all of us. Praise the Lord. Let's stand tonight if you would. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The blessings of God upon this life, it's all we have. It's all we have to receive the touch of God. Without His touch, we have nothing. Without His touch, we simply live for a tomorrow eternity that is not here yet. Oh, it'd be worth it all if God would never bless us. It would still be worth living for Him that we might have heaven. But I'm so glad that He has not taken the blessings away from us. I am so glad that when I come to His house, I can feel His presence and feel His might and know when I raise my hands heavenward, if I have a need, I can go to Him. Talking to Sister Murray today, she come out crying. Naturally, she would. But you know, it's so wonderful, and I was thankful that I was able and others have done the same thing for her and talked to her. But it's such a great pleasure to be able to go to a woman that has the Holy Ghost and say, Sister Murray, you can't depend on your family or your friends in this grief. The grief is too much that words cannot overpower the grief. But Sister Murray, don't forget that the Holy Ghost is there. Lean on Him. A blessing in the darkest hour. A blessing from God when grief is so strong and the bite of grief is so forceful and so painful. But yet in Him, I can go and raise my hands and raise my heart heavenward. And He's going to be there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Count our blessings. Count our blessings. Count our blessings. Hadn't He been good to you? Hadn't He been good to you? Hallelujah. When you look at it, hasn't He just been good to you? You're alive tonight, not out of your own goodness, not out of your own might. You're alive because of Him. Don't fail to look to Him as the blessing giver that He is. Don't fail to acknowledge Him and recognize Him as the Almighty God that He is in our lives. Without Him, I'd be lost. Without Him, I'd have nothing. But on the other hand, I can turn the whole thing around. As someone said, I think Brother Hankins in his testimony, he said, with Him, I have everything. Everything I need through Him. Hallelujah. Lord, teach us how to count our blessings. Our God, Father, we thank You tonight for blessings upon blessings upon blessings, Lord. My God, when I stand in my life, the days that I have prayed for sunshine to come upon my life. The Lord, instead of sunshine, You have sent darkness. But God, You knew that I needed those darkness. You knew that I needed those days. God, when I've asked for a mountain, You have sometimes given me a valley to crawl through. But again, God, You knew that I needed strength in that valley experience. My God, I say tonight with my heart open to You, Lord, don't ever let me fail to recognize the blessings You send my way. Don't ever let me fail to acknowledge Your touch upon my life and to give You the glory for what You desire to do in my life. Lord, help this child, to count His blessings. And in counting my blessings, I will be able to stand and live for You and give all my life to You because You are there. You are there when I need You. You are there. You are there in the times of my discouragement. And Lord, I thank You for every blessing You've ever given to any saint in this church, for the church itself. Lord, we thank You. Help us just to... Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You're dismissed tonight in Jesus' name. Praise, oh, count your blessings tonight. Hallelujah.